Joe Hendry makes things better, but there's still so much to do. Joe Hendry makes things better, and now he's got a podcast. Cause if you'd like some, we'll come and collect some. And if you'd like some...
Hello and welcome to the Joe Hendry Show. We're excited to be here. We've got these mics now in front of our faces.
Oh, yes.
So you can't see us, but you can hear us.
Nice.
And that's good. That's a good thing. So basically, you know the drill, folks. We've got to give some love to the sponsors before we get kicked off. So first up is Fight Forever Wrestling, the UK's newest promotion. Fight Forever Wrestling will hold their debut tour this December with four incredible events. Phenomena at Prism Nightclub in Birmingham on the 6th, Deep Red at York Hall London on the 7th, Inferno at Action Indoor Sports Bristol on the 8th, and Trauma at the Eventium Olympia in Liverpool on the 9th. That's all December. This is a wrestling tour with a difference because Fight Forever are promising the ultimate fan experience. You'll get live wrestling with a stacked roster, including Joe Hendry, the American Nightmare, Cody and Brandy Rhodes, Jimmy Havoc, Flip Gordon, Kaylee Ray, Viper, Zach Gibson, Travis Banks, and many more from WS, Impact, and WWE UK. But there's more. You'll also get the award-winning Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard live, with both Bruce and Conrad Thompson. I believe that's the first time I've done that ad without tripping up over the words.
I was impressed.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, thank you. We're making progress. So, as you guys know, that's one of the most popular podcasts in the world today. I think at one point it might even still be the most popular sports podcast. It's absolutely exploded, and you're going to get to see it live for the first time ever in the UK.
Nice.
When the show is actually, it might be the second. Or they did do a show in Ireland. Just don't set the lawyers on me. This is the time you got to go see it.
Well, do they do it in Ireland or Northern Ireland?
I know. I know it was Ireland. I don't think they cross over into Belfast. So my statement probably was correct.
That's fine.
But don't set the lawyers on me. All right. Okay. So when the show's finished, the party continues. Hosted by WWE Hall of Famer The Godfather. Join us in Birmingham on the 6th and Bristol on the 8th for The Godfather's... pimping party. Okay. Can't believe I had to say that.
It's not like it's the first time you've said
it. I know,
the...
but this time it hurt the most.
Like the Godfather's
pimping party.
You pick up a penguin.
Yeah. You've got to have some confidence if you're going to this. You can't rock up to the door and go, I'm here for the Godfather's pimping party.
You've got to be like, mate, I'm here for the pimping party, mate.
So, if join us in Birmingham on the 8th and Bristol, Birmingham on the 6th and Bristol on the 8th for the Godfather's Pimpin' Party, as Dave put it. If you're attending the London show on the 7th or Liverpool on the 9th, the Godfather will transform into his terrifying alter ego, Papa Shango, for Papa Shango's Voodoo Party. Ticket packages are available now at fightforeverwrestling.com. Boom. And I must say, on this read, fightforeverwrestling.com is in capitals. So right. I suggest you put it in capitals when you visit fightforeverwrestling.com. It will make no difference, except it'll be in capitals.
It'll make a positive difference for you.
But exactly.
It'll create the atmosphere of the website.
That's getting you into the spirit of when you need to come to the door and ask to get into Godfather's Pimpin' Party. If you start typing in capitals, that's
gives you the confidence you need.
It does. Yeah. It does. If you don't want to type in capitals, then you're probably more suited for Papa Shango's Voodoo.
More than likely, I would think.
Yeah. So that's my advice. So, I just had a wee thought there. You know Godfather has a train.
He does have a train.
In today's day and age, I don't think we should call it that.
No.
No. I thought we'll come up with a different name for it.
We'll come up with
a more respectful name.
A Santa train.
Yes, perhaps.
We did discuss a third Santa train.
Yes. A third Santa train?
A third of the Santa train. You know, Santa's catchphrase is ho, 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 you know. A third of Santa's train, you know.
There you go. I like it. Dave's ahead of the game there. So if you want to come to the... Imagine Godfather shows up and it's like, God, because that's what they call him for short, obviously. God, or Pap. So God or Pap shows up. It's like,
Pap.
Right, we can't call it the ho train, right? So you've shown up and here's the flyer. It's a... one third of Santa's catchphrase train. All right?
He's like, I like it.
He's like, are they hoes? No.
It can't be hoes.
It's literally a slim Santa. That's what we've provided for. Anyway, Santa. For God's sake, what are we talking about? We're getting through the ads quick there, and now I've just digressed and nonsense. Yeah. Anyway, so, up next, you know the one. You know the drill. Beer 52. Nope. Beer 52. Now, I'm opening this up here in DocsVier because you gave me the email. You didn't give me the read.
That's me.
I can do it from... Oh, that's you. Dave. Oh, he's got to put in his fingerprints.
Ooh.
You know what it is? He doesn't want us to see his ticket to the one-third Santa party.
That's true.
There you go.
I heard that on the street.
Yeah. His password was all in caps. I saw it. Anyway. So... How would you like a free case of craft beer? As a listener to our show, we'd like to thank you for listening with the help of our friends at beer52.com. Just go to beer52.com/Hendry to claim your free case. All you got to pay, the beer's free, all you got to pay for is the postage and packaging, people, postage. Which is £2.95 and you get eight PMP. Amazing beers. And I'll tell you, this isn't like, excuse me, can I send these first class, please? We've spoke about this before. They are strong rumours. We do have sources, but we can't absolutely confirm. But the post office offered to send these beers and Beer 52 slapped them in the face and said, nah. They slapped the Queen in the face.
I heard that their exact quote was, we'll be daying none of that Royal Mail pish.
They did say that.
In those exact words.
They instead will courier these beers to you next day for £2.95 because Beer 52 is the world's most popular monthly craft beer discovery club. They're searching incredible and exclusive small batch craft beers from the world's greatest breweries and bringing them back for their members. There's a whole world of craft beer out there and this is your chance to get on board and discover it. Each month is a new country or theme, and if you sign up now, as we say, it's only £2.95. Got to pay that postage though. That's fair, isn't it?
Dude, that's cheap. Yeah, that's really cheap postage.
That's fair. That's
for next day.
Absolutely. Can you take me to the next page, please, Dave?
So not go over
it. It's no happening.
No, just scroll. There you go.
There we go. Okay. Well, I didn't ken how you use
that. I didn't how you use that phone. That Samsung that everybody has.
So, as a listener to the show...
You have two Samsungs.
I can't tell you, start.
I forgot, right?
You're my flesh and blood. Right. So, as a listener to our show, that just reminded me of... being my brother, that just reminded me of the A&W burger.
Oh, God.
Jesus wept. So, as a listener of a show, you can try the first case for free. Again, it's £2.95 for eight incredible beers. You get Ferment Magazine and a snack. Last time it was hot chicken wing flavor crisps, and I was not upset. I would have paid full price just for
those crisps. I was going to say, yeah.
They were amazing. Actually, I'm going to get on to crisps after this. But there's no minimum commitment. You can just take the free case, try the beer, see what you think. If it's not for you, you can tell them to go away. You can just pause or cancel any time, email or phone and let them know, and Beer 52 will sort that out. They've got a 5-star rating on Trustpilot, people, so it's easy. You can trust these people with getting drunk. You can trust them to get you drunk, okay?
You can trust them to get you drunk and give you fine snacks.
Yeah. But drink responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Drink responsibly. When I say drunk, I don't mean get drunk. I mean, you can get them. You can trust them to let you drink responsibly.
There you go.
The word beer, number52.com/Hendry. Go and claim that offer. I better wrap this up before I lose all our advertising.
I know.
You know what I mean? That's your get your phone out of my purse. So yeah, I was going to talk about crisps. I have, you know, amongst other things, I should probably mention that I have developed a problem, I would say, with salt and vinegar crisps.
Oh, yes, you definitely do.
I do. Like, I'm actually removing, like, the dead skin from my mouth, and it's literally, it's coming out, it's too much. It's too much. I literally, like, you know, I was watching Breaking Bad, right? And you know, like, who's the first drug dealer guy they go and see? The guy with the big knife.
Crazy Eight.
No, the one after Tuco. Yeah, Tuco, right? And he's like, God, that's what I feel like when I get Disco's Chris. I'm like, God damn! That's the shit! God damn! Like, when I just... Because you know, like, some Pringles and some Discos are, like, flavoured up to the nines.
Yeah.
And then some of them are...
It's the bottom of the packet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, once you get to the bottom...
Yeah, so it's like, I feel like... Heisenberg's blue brand is like Disco's blue crisps or Pringles. It's like, God damn, I don't care if it's blue or Walker's green. God damn.
The most depressing thing is if you get Texas barbecue Pringles and they've got none of the flavoring on them. Dude, that's miserable.
Mate, I actually don't know how I feel about being friends with someone that chose to get Texas barbecue flavor.
Oh, mate, they're the tips.
Are they?
Oh, you know what I used to like? I don't know if they still do them. The extreme ones. You used to get the extreme like spicy barbecue sauce Pringles.
Mate,
they were the
tits. Let me just, I'm probably, now this is showing my age here. When I was at school, I think it was primary 7, I remember Disco's Crisps had this thing where you could, I swear to God, regular, dude, my mouth's watering thinking about it. Dead skin from the inside of my mouth is just flopping out of here, right? Because just even thinking about it, my body has that kind of, my body's going into convulsions. Think about it, I got PTSD, right? These crisps, so Disco's Crisps are already blowing your face off.
Yep.
Back in the day in primary 7, there was another sachet inside for a while that you could open up to add more, and it was more intense than the regular flavor.
Or salt.
Can you imagine?
That
no,
sounds
it wasn't
familiar.
Salt.
Or
it
maybe
was
I'm
not
salt.
It was flavoring. Walkers mess around with the salt. Disco's added. You hear my stomach over that noise?
I'm almost. Yeah. Is that a thing?
It's really not now. It's not. It's not now. But it was.
But
a
like,
thing.
Was that a thing?
And I think that can't.
That does sound familiar.
That can't have been safe for kids.
Oh
that
no!
Could not have been safe.
Yeah,
for
but
kids.
Remember all the crappy drinks that were out as well, like that ended up getting banned off the market for. Just
yeah, I mean,
eating.
Like, dude, like Iron Brew, like legit made kids go mad.
Really? Actually,
same as Red Cola. Yeah.
Know, was there not something with Sunny
That's
Delight
the sugar
as well?
Tax was really a good thing.
I know. Was there,
like,
was there not something with Sunny Delight?
Well. Oh, oh yeah,
no, Sunny D like change your skin color. Like,
oh, that's just, you know, it's like mate, you got to be a pro wrestler, you got to get a tan. I want the Sunny D, mate.
Nah, you know what? I don't like the sugar tax, and here's why.
Libertarian point of view, I get it. Go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I get yeah, and I am probably if I'm I definitely would say if I'm gonna be left or right, I'm definitely in that middle ground of libertarian. I don't like the sugar tax, and this is why. I am a healthy human being. I train regularly. I eat fairly healthy.
You train, Dave?
If I want to go to the shop and buy a drink that's loaded with some sugar, right, I have the right to do so. To me, this is what I'm thinking, right? This is the same thing I had with the minimum alcohol pricing. It's the same thing I did with the minimal cigarette pricing. Now, I don't drink that much, and I don't buy, and I don't smoke, right? But it bothers me that it's like, and this is just me, my opinion here, it bothers me that the government's like, mate, we're going to put the price of alcohol up, mate, per unit. That's what we're going to do. You're going to be healthier as a result. We're doing the good thing for your health.
Although,
in reality, to me, that's it's that under the guy it's under the guise of that when in reality it's let's see how much more we can pad our pockets because Alki Al right Alki Al isn't going to be sitting there going
that's my favorite bit
mate.
when Alki Al's in his flat and he's like mate I was going to get steamy tonight
mate.
But I saw Scrumpy Jack's 10p more and I just thought I'd reform my life.
Well, actually,
exactly. That's what
I just enrolled
a bottle of like White Lightning. It's like the same as getting like a crate of Tennent's.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Jesus
but the price,
Christ.
The price of a crate of Tennent's has only gone up by about 10p.
Right.
So it's the cheaper alcohol that's gone up.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So the stuff that
Fair
is
enough.
Legitimately dangerous for people.
Yeah.
Has
so
gone.
So it's
up.
Like, mate, I was going to jump in the White Lightning, but I decided to enroll at Harvard instead this evening.
Mate, it changed my life. The government sugar tax changed my life. The alcohol price changed my life. I'm healthy. Mate, I'm running a marathon.
I'm doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Mate, I'm doing the Jiu-Jitsu, mate. Did he come near me? I'll tell you.
Joe Rogan podcast by day. Training by night. No, it's the wrong way around, did it?
Mate, I've been doing jiu-jitsu for 5 minutes, mate, but I swear to God, I'll choke you, eh? Like, me and Rogan are basically the same guy. Aye. Like, and that's but that's my thing. That's my thing about all this pish that the government's doing, where it's like, we're going to help your health. In reality, you're going to pad your pockets. Yeah? You take 40% of my wage, you know you want more of it because I want to have a Pepsi every now and then. Yeah, bastards.
Although, right, so
it's his counterpoint.
There's a chicken place called Chicken Club
on
Leith Walk, right?
Okay.
The chicken breast is bad. It's very dry.
But
the wings are unreal. Like, the
oh, really?
Wings are unreal.
How's that
so
possible?
Tasty? I think it's just because the breast is such dense chicken.
Yeah.
There is a lot.
Mate, this chicken's got the best wings, but the breast's just, nah. No good the good breasts, eh?
It's the hot wings. The hot wings are just unreal. But
I like huge chicken tits, really.
How is that possible? I mean, surely they're getting off the same chicken, right?
So well, it's like the breast is just so much more, though. Imagine like it's the spicy wings have a different flavour.
Oh, it's because they're putting all that shit on them.
Imagine exactly. They called them chicken tits. How long? Just going to Nando's, it's like, can I get, I'll take the hot sauce, I'll get two chicken tits. I'm so mature.
It's just like, you're in a chicken place, so you don't even have to specify that it's chicken tits. You just have to be like, can I get two tits out of you? Two tits, mate. There's just a guy at the back who's just like, order number 69, two tits.
I like how I'm like by far the youngest.
Here. I know, you're the youngest by a country man.
And, you know.
You want it breaded or grilled, mate? I'll take my breaded tits.
Can I get that with a granny and a maid's, mate?
I'll take two. I can't.
Did you must have missed all that, didn't you?
Have you heard of that?
Burger. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, you did hear it?
No, I okay, it. So, oh, well, long story short, so apologies, sorry to anyone that's listening that's already heard this. But basically, when I was in Canada...
You're actually crying over chicken tits. Like, he's actually got tears in his eyes from chicken tits.
Stop saying that, I'm going to piss myself. We're going to have look,
chicken
piss yourself register part
chicken
two.
Tits.
The piss yourself registers at the door. It's like, it'll be like the TV license guys. They've got a van outside. It's like, you're not a kid, you're meant to piss yourself. You were talking about chicken tits
tonight
again.
On Piss Hunters. Joe Hendry. And chicken tits.
I just started talking about chicken tits. I knew it was wrong.
Just couldn't stop myself.
I was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I knew it was wrong. I was going to tell them not to cook chicken tits. That's what.
So
well, I think we've got the episode title, haven't we?
Chicken tits.
The last three episode titles are just going to be ridiculous. They're just actually going to be, it's like, piss yourself register, grinding a queen's meal, and fucking chicken tits. People are going to be looking for this podcast, they're going to be like, what the fuck is this podcast about?
So after that tangent,
oh God.
To finish the point was, you can get a 2-litre bottle of Pepsi. Off their Just Eat. Now, on Just Eat, if you've ever had some Pepsi or Coke or whatever, It always says 2-litre, but they give you the 1.5.
Oh, those bastards.
No, that's not on. So you send them back.
Now, Chicken Club, they've got your back.
They give me the 3-litre, mate.
They give you a 1.5-litre bottle and a can.
That's still less, dude.
Dude, it's so much better.
That's
it's
less,
so much
that
better.
Less.
It's less than 2 liters, but they're still giving you. What
I can't believe you're happy about getting less than what you paid for.
I mean, if I'm getting 100,
but it's only £2.
See, honestly, if I'm getting 1,899 liters, you're getting a bloody mug.
Other takeaways will charge you more for less.
But that's like going, you know what, mate? I didn't mind Barry. Barry's all right. See all my other pals? They smack me in the puss twice whenever I meet them. Barry only slaps me once, so it's fine.
But he calls me chicken tits. Chicken tits.
That's what it's like, though. So he only slaps me once, right, so what? I didn't mind him. He's good. Compared to my other pals.
It's the first takeaway I've had that has
is that
ever
simply,
done that.
So is that just because of the sugar tax? Because the equivalent cost now would be...
Well,
like,
I think it's got something to do with it. Because the fact that you don't get 2-litre bottles anymore is because of the sugar tax.
You can still get 2-litre bottles.
Not of Pepsi or Coke.
What? Get to fuck. They've taken away my caffeine.
I can't actually believe I used to sit down and edit swear words out of this podcast. Like, do you know how long that took? There was one day I was like, it's an explicit podcast.
That's nuts, man. I can't believe that. That is insane.
Although, I remember I went into Tesco and I saw, for the first time in my life, a 3-litre bottle of Coke.
I saw those when I was younger, man. They can't fit in your fridge.
Guess how much?
How much? Oh, let me get. Okay,
You're saying guess how much?
No,
it's either going to be way too high or way too low. So I'm going to go way too high and say £4.
Oh, see, I was going to go £3.69.
£2.
Oh wow.
Oh what?
£2. Wow. It was more expensive to get like a 1.75 litre bottle of Coke.
Yeah, because 3 litres is the most inconvenient thing of all time.
Oh yeah, the balls were absolutely massive.
You can't even carry that, like, you can't even carry it well in hand, because if you carry it by the lid, you're just gonna rip your fingers apart.
Well, you can hold it from the bottom, Dave.
Yeah, you have to like cradle it like a child. It's like, shh. But I was gonna say, it probably weighs the same as a small child, for God's sake. 3 litres, and it won't fit in your fridge.
What? Dude, like, when I'm babysitting, they sit in the fridge until their parents are back.
I was gonna say, out of context, that sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Dave's looking after us again tonight. Better get in the fridge.
Oh no. Have I left wee Timmy in the fridge?
Oh shit, I took him out of the fridge. Get him back in.
It would be like Harry Potter when he like hates his uncle and stuff like that. It's like, Uncle Dave puts me in the fridge.
He says I'm about the same size as the 2 litre.
I have to cuddle up to the chicken tits for warmth. Anyway. But yeah, so the A&W burger thing, when I was in Canada, it's like, you know, here at McDonald's, you've got like cheeseburger, double cheeseburger, Big Mac, big tasty. A&W Burger, they've got I'll take a mama burger, a papa burger, a grandpa burger, an uncle burger. So it's like, that's literally what the burgers are called. So we were just like, we were getting absolutely...
What are the kids' burgers called?
They're called Buddies.
Aww.
The Buddy Burger.
Nah, actually, I kind of like that.
Yeah, like that actually. Okay. So we just got on this ridiculous tangent where we're just like, I'll take a second cousin twice removed meal. I'll take two half sisters and a granny remains meal, please.
Comes with a free urn.
It's served in an urn.
Comes in an urn with couscous.
Comes with a free edible urn.
And stale biscuits.
Yeah. And stale rich teas.
I know.
Or comes with a quality street tin with sewing materials inside.
No, I have to say, I think
have you ever been to any relatives' houses and it's just a quality street tin and you go down, ooh, quality street, you open up and it's just like sewing shit. And you're like, oh, thanks a lot, Grand, for God's sake.
We got to think of some more grandma stuff.
Grandma stuff. Oh Christ, that one. That's definitely one that I remember.
Yeah,
it's always the biscuits are always.
That's like, weird. They always go in a tin. In our generation, if you got a pack of Kit Kats, that's the packet.
Yeah, you know stay in the pack,
and you take one out, or you know, you have like you have a biscuit tray, you put them in. No, if you're elderly, you must decant those biscuits into a tin.
Yeah,
and seal that tin.
Yeah. Yep.
You're not like, not airtight though.
No, it will not be airtight. They have to be soft. They must.
If they don't,
you know how you like the police.
If you don't put them in a tin, I've figured it out. If you don't put them in a tin and they don't get soft, you lose your dentures.
Exactly.
The government comes like, and they take your dentures.
You know how like the police can pull you over and check your tire tread depth. It's like they need to check how much.
There's a government body called the Granny Busters.
The GVLA. The Granny Licensing Association.
Old Ella is just like, I heard old Agnes's biscuits are not going soft, eh? She's no doing herself any
good. Don't eat grass on your own class, mate.
I've had several reports from your grandkids that your biscuits are perfect.
Which one? Which one, grass milk? I want a kid.
We cannot disclose that information.
They'll be quality shooting with the sewing materials. No shortbread for them.
I've given you wee bastards gold bars for your entire life, and this is how you're gonna pay me. One rich tea and I'm in the jail.
I bet you there's people out there who buy gold bars, take them out the packet, and then put them in a
tin. No, that's too far.
You can't do that.
I can guarantee you there's I would at least
report,
one
if my,
person.
If my gran did that, I would report her. I would report her to the GVLA. To the GVLA.
Mate, you're getting shopped at the GVLA.
I can't accept that.
That's too
someone far. Someone will.
Oh, do you remember Vitamin Friends?
Dude, they were so good.
I know, they were so good.
They were so
basically
good.
They're like Haribo, but the owners were like Vitamin Friends, eh? So like, I remember like Nana used to be
sugar.
Like Nana used to be like, oh, they're good for you. And it's like made with real apple. It's basically just like sweets, but they were called Vitamin Friends.
Made with 0.01% apple.
They were from like Lidl.
Yeah.
like, and this is back in the day before Lidl became cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
before the recession when people had money.
Yeah.
So Lidl was...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Mate, I saw a guy at the World Championships who had Lidl on his singlet. He literally had, like, a sponsorship for Lidl.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Dude, he won, like, a gold medal in Greco, man. It's just like, Lidl. It was beast. I was like, good for him.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Lidl. And then Aldi started coming up, like, WCW back in the day. Like, Lidl's just like... Mate, we control Scotland, eh? And then just Aldi's just like.
I know. Aldi just hires Eric Bischoff and up to Hulk Hogan, like, have you ever thought about coming back for the movies and that?
And they're like, Undertaker, do you want to come out here and join the NWO, mate?
So who's Farm Foods?
Farm Foods is ECW, man. No, wait. They're old school, man.
Farm Foods are old school because they've not been able to keep up.
They're like the AWA, man. They're like the AWA. Yeah. They were like old school, traditional, good quality stuff, but then the prices started.
All Japan Pro Wrestling.
You think All Japan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, wait. Well, let's go through it. So I think we can safely say WWE is probably Asda.
Yeah, I would say
because they're Walmart. They're Walmart.
And then
I would say, well, we'll need to go back. So we're going back to 2000 here.
2000.
So WCW is Tesco.
Really, I would say Sainsbury's, man. No, I think
Sainsbury's is and Morrison's is ECW.
Yeah, I would say that.
I don't know. It's tough.
Morrison's are a bit crazy.
They are a bit nuts, man.
They are a bit.
Like, have you tried to use their self-service machines? Yeah, like, they
accuse you.
Random.
Yeah.
You have to roll dice.
Yeah.
And they accuse you of being a thief. They're just like, put the item in there.
I know, like, the millisecond it scans, it's like, item's not in the bagging area. Item's not in the bagging area.
Are you nicking this?
You're mugging me up.
Everyone just turns.
Are you nicking
and stares
this? I've heard about your biscuits. Get them. Have you ever been in their alcohol bit? It's just like the whole shop's just like normal. Then you go to the alcohol bit. It's just like classy lighting, wooden floors. Yeah. It's like they've been to IKEA and they're just like, let's just deck out half the shop.
It's like a wine cellar.
Yeah, it literally is like a wine cellar.
I literally, when you mention IKEA there, like we literally go there for our dinner. Like no other reason. We will go to IKEA for dinner. It's like, I'm just jealous.
Yeah,
I feel like there's almost a bit of shame with that, isn't there? It's like a... You go to pay and it's like, oh, just the meatballs and dime cake, please. Oh, hi, how was your day? I'm good, just checking out furniture. No, just here for the dinner.
Looking at wardrobes at night.
No, but
flat pack floors and
just the choice is too much.
It's just like,
I don't see any shame. If anyone's had IKEA,
do you know what it'd be
before in their life, there should not be any
shame. If you're like, all right, head, you want to go out for a meal, eh? She's like, oh, where are we going? It's a surprise, Henry. And you just pull up to IKEA. She's like, they did the best hot dogs here, Henry.
You don't even take her to the canteen. You've taken her to the bit like, after.
Yeah, it's like, you grab the food. Grab the food and then you go to like a little kitchen bit. And you're like, imagine if we actually had this kitchen.
Oh, I thought this was the canteen. Oops. Oh, no. Oh, well, 30p for an ice cream, Henry.
I'll tell you what, some of the shitty milkshakes.
I'll tell you what, Costco is not messing around.
Oh, Costco's
Costco is. Have you seen their pizzas in that?
You told me about their pizzas.
Have you got a Costco card?
No, but Lockie had one the other day when we were on the way to the tournament.
Yeah, we were shocked about that.
I was honestly, I felt there was a queue for pizza, so I didn't get one. But I walked past the pizza and dude, the slices were like, it was amazing.
Well, you can buy like the pizzas before they're cooked as well, and they're like that,
like frozen.
Yeah, they're massive.
Really?
They're like,
dude, Costco's amazing.
You could fit
also,
like two of them on that table.
It's the cheapest place for fuel.
Yes, that's why
we went in.
I went somewhere and the fuel was $1.50.
Get
$1.50 a litre, whereas Costco was $1.20. Ah, the good old days. I remember when it was under 100.
What
a pish, man. Do you know 60% of that's tax?
Again, thanks, government.
Cheers.
Thanks for taking all my money and just like slapping me across the pus. Just kicking me up the arse and being like, we can that you made your money yourself by being self-employed in that, but here's what we're wanting today. Let's take 40% of it, and then we'll just punch you in the gob. And I'm like, thanks.
It's 20%.
No, they take 40% if you're self-employed.
No, it's 20%.
Well, it depends on how much you're making a year.
Big roller over here.
How much you're making a year.
High roller.
If I made any more... Dude, if you're making like north of 100 grand, is it not 60%?
No, it's 40%.
Is it 40 the highest? Thank God for that, dude, because I would absolutely just go off my tits.
Well, I saw, did you see about the lottery in America? It was like $900 million.
And
someone won that?
I don't know if someone did.
Christ,
but there was, it was like taking over America. There's memes about it nonstop. But like the amount of tax you'd have to pay, it went down from $900
million like $300 million
to like $400 million.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it'd be. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What? Get that, Tief. I was like, and this is the thing. I wouldn't mind so much. This is my argument with the tax, right? I wouldn't mind so much, but where the fuck is the money going? Like, we've got, it's like I'll put it to you like this, and I never realised this as much until my dad was in the hospital, right? And I realised just how underfunded important things are, right? Things like the NHS and that, right? Because those poor fuckers,
I'll tell you what though,
they're stretched so thin.
But dude, like, our health system's probably the best in the world.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I think there's some Nordic countries that have it pretty good, but like,
it's good.
Ours is,
yeah, no matter what, you can guarantee, like, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, like, they're doing it better.
Yeah, but then you look at
Iceland, when I cracked my head open over there, oh my god, it was like a sketch. Like, I was just getting like bashed about. Like, that's a whole story for another day.
But yeah, that.
I'm pretty sure you told that one on the podcast.
Yeah, possibly.
And it was like, we can't afford to like refit this hospital that we built in 1975, but we can spend billions on redoing the Minecraft. The Minecraft Scottish Parliament building and paying ourselves an alcohol allowance.
That's a good point. See the Scottish Parliament building. I think you'd be hard pushed to do a worse job.
Okay, so
let me turn the light on.
You'd have to literally build it out of Meccano. Not even Lego.
Meccano would keep it in a logical structure. Can you imagine if somebody came on, right, you've tried it your way, I'm building it with Meccano.
Mate, James May's going to show up, just make it out of Legos.
So first of all, I like the Scottish Parliament. I think it's a nice building, I think it's interesting, and I think it's modest enough for a parliament. I mean, have you been to London? You see Westminster?
Yeah, but
like, that's a little bit overboard.
Does it look like a building, though? The Scottish Parliament doesn't look like a building.
No, it looks like a fucking castle.
Like, the Scottish Parliament building literally looks like something that I could have made in primary school. Lollipop sticks.
Do you know, like, the little sort of, like, sevens that are on it?
Yeah.
Like, that little
design. We were saying it looks like a Scalextric's controller.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what it's
actually based off of?
What is it based off?
The famous painting of the guy skating.
And you think that's a good thing?
I'm just putting it out there.
That's what'd be good.
I'm just putting it out there.
What I've done, right, is I've gone in for the Turner Prize, and what I've done is I just ate as much curry as I could and didn't shite for as long as possible. And then after 3 days, I put a canvas underneath me and I just went in one go, right? And that actually represents the Mona Lisa.
Do you know what it looks like?
Look, all I'm saying, like, I like the building,
yeah.
But also as a fun fact,
okay,
that's
fair
what
enough.
It's based off.
It's like, mate,
I think it's pretty dumb.
I think it's amazing. When Conor McGregor won his two belts, and I thought, that picture is amazing. Let's base a parliament building on that, eh?
Well, it's a very famous Scottish painting.
Throw the shite off your dad.
It's a very famous Scottish painting.
Yeah.
Probably the most famous painting.
But that sounds like someone who hasn't done their homework and is having to explain it to the teacher. Why are there Scalextric's controllers? You didn't just like trace Scalextric's controllers that you had lying around. It's not famous painting with the skin, eh?
It's a really good. It's a really, really good, like
nice try.
It's a good way of pulling the wool over people's eyes for spending billions and billions of pounds.
Yeah.
Do you know what it actually looks like? If you look at it at certain angles, it actually looks like the Punjabi prison that WWE built a few years back. Do you not remember that?
It legit looks
like that. You look like you could scale the fucking thing.
I would love to have been there when they're like, I've got this new match idea. The Punjabi prison.
It's like a cage, but it's made of like bamboo and that, eh? And there's going to be like several layers to it.
Imagine they did that for like every culture and they're like, right, mate, I'm calling this one the Haggis Fortress. The WWE title in a Haggis Fortress match.
What were the fucking rules of Punjabi? Is it, do you have to escape the Punjabi prison or did you just beat the guy? What were the rules?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It wasn't as complex as the Haggis Fortress match. I know that.
What are the rules of that?
Basically, you've got to eat your way out the.
You got
the
your Haggis way out.
Fortress. And actually, it was they were wrestling a vegan, so it was the heel won because the vegan couldn't get out.
Yeah.
If when you get to the end, you've got to down a full sugar iron.
So the next year they had to use vegan haggis because that was the only fair way.
Vegan Vegas.
There was a big whole controversy.
Yeah,
there was
this sort
whole,
of thing.
Whole controversy. Sort of thing. They banned the match. It's no sanctioned, eh? Yeah. Every now and then you'll be like, unsanctioned.
In an unsanctioned Haggis match.
Unsanctioned, non-vegan Haggis Fortress match.
Oh, that's too far, mate. That's too far.
There's not even going to be a referee because he doesn't want to take responsibility.
The referee's vegan as well.
Who's on that tofu, mate?
He's on, yeah, anyway.
Aye.
we digress, yeah. So I wanted to bring something up, which I mentioned in the car to Dave, but Jake, I thought you'd probably find this amusing.
Oh, go for it, yeah.
I was watching it. I've been getting really into The Gaming Historian. Have you seen this? So basically, it just gives you like in-depth history about, you know, notable stuff in video games history.
Okay.
And there was one on Sonic and like the back and forth between Sega Japan and Sega America on like creating Sonic.
Yeah.
And it was like so the Japanese division of Sega were like, right, we're a bit worried that American audiences will not like him, so we've given him a band and he's got a human bird. Right, so they sent it over.
He had a band.
Yeah, yeah. And then Sega America were like, "No, away with that."
I like how that's the bit you're like, yeah. "Wait, what?"
Yeah,
it's like the human girlfriend for a hedgehog that can read the.
Did he have a
the
human
speed
bird
of
as well?
Sound?
Yeah, he had one later on. They gave him it in Sonic.
Remember Crash Bandicoot had a bird as well at like the first game.
Oh no, but she was a bandicoot as well.
Yeah.
The first game maybe she was different.
No, she was, but she was like super tall and had like the proportions of an actual woman.
Aye,
even though he's like 2 feet tall. Like, hey, I just can't reach you. I'm going to need the yearly pages, mate.
Yeah, you just like walk in on them and all you hear is, ooh!
Sorry, you were saying aye. So he's got human bird, he's got a band.
And
what did he play
and
bass?
They said about, I can't remember, but they were like,
of course he did.
So I love how bass was the assumption.
That's what he's like, what is cool? And it's just bass.
The gaming historian claims that his personality is his kind of nonchalant, confident attitude was based on Bill Clinton. we were like, I did not have sexual relations with tails, and that's no good. If you don't get all the emeralds at the end, it's like Robotnik just like impeaches you from Parliament at the end.
What was the thing about his shoes as well?
Amy Rose is like Monica Lewinsky. Like, that's why she doesn't appear in any of the games.
She's gone up to Sonic. She's like, you should piss off, Ed.
There's a meme of there's a Bill Clinton meme that I find it hilarious. No one I've ever shown it to has laughed at it, and I don't know if it's one of these things that only I find funny. But so remember when Hillary had the whole email scandal and they deleted like thousands of her emails and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Basically, there was just like a meme of Bill Clinton looking about, say 4,000 years old. He was just like, ugh. And it goes, when you've been up all night deleting your wife's emails. I thought it was pretty funny. But no one else laughed. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that.
Meh.
I guess it's more a visual thing.
I know the picture you're talking about, though.
You kind of have to be
He's
there.
Just like,
yeah. He does look pretty old now.
Oh, God. I mean, that presidency will age you. That'll age
mate,
you.
Mate, did you see what Obama, like, have you seen like the pictures before and after?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, mate, before, he looked like he'd be like a star athlete. Like, he's just like, mate. And by the end, it's just like, I'm ready for retirement.
I think Will Smith is the only person that could survive a presidency because he looks like
the same
as he has for like 20 years.
Maybe The Rock.
Yeah.
The Rock actually looks younger than when he was like 24.
I feel like, I know, have you seen that? When he had like a little mustache. Gordon Ramsay, I reckon he'd like DH. He'd be like, this is less stressful than what I normally do.
Yeah. You can't look older than Gordon Ramsay.
He's looked the same for, who else is, I remember Cliff Richard for a while was like that. My mom was always like, Cliff Richard just doesn't age. And then he like went for a period where literally in about 2 years he aged about 4 years.
It'll get you. That presidency will get you.
Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah,
what about all the Theresa May dance and stuff? That is so disturbing. That is the best argument. You know, there's that whole conspiracy about like lizards ruling the world. Theresa May's dancing is the strongest argument I've ever seen for that. It's like literally, I bet they have the lizard people meetings and they're like, Theresa, fucking calm down. You're giving the game away here with your dancing. Just stop it. No human can be proportioned that way.
You're trying to fucking break kayfabe.
And Tails is like, Theresa, stop it.
It is. It's honestly, God. It's really. Yeah, I know. And did you see the one where she walked out to dance? She's like coming up the stage. She looks like she's doing like an uncoordinated Ric Flair strut. She's
well,
like,
have you seen they've like, I was like they've made memes of it with like Vince McMahon's music and stuff like that? Like, yeah. Walking on stage and stuff.
No
and like
cares.
Stone Cold.
So that's what
Stone
got.
Cold's music as well. It's so funny, man.
Oh, Christ.
To me, the whole dancing thing is just the boardroom of Tories going,
oh, you should go.
How do we connect to the youth?
We need to connect to those youths. You know, Fortnite dancing seems to be the rage.
Theresa,
I think what you need to
do... actually became one of those memes.
Theresa, we think that you should go out and floss on stage. That would get you popular with the young voters. How could this possibly backfire? There's no way this could go wrong.
It's just the way that she dances, it's so unsettling. Mm.
They should have learned, like, when their presidential campaigning...
Oh, Hillary.
Hillary.
Oh,
she, like,
God.
Dabbed on Ellen.
Oh, it's like,
oh, Christ.
Yeah, she was like...
so bad.
And, like, they should have learned from that. It's not going to work for the younger audiences, because it's just cringy. And, like, the young... like. Millennials and Gen Z, we know, like, when
we can
it's just
smell bullshit
shit.
A mile away.
Yeah.
We can smell bullshit.
Nothing gets
a mile
past
away.
Us anymore.
Yeah, you can smell it a mile away. Like, that's why, like, look at people now. Like, one of the biggest things that's going on right now is in the MMA community is Derek Lewis is getting over, like, Rover. Right? And I've always been a Derek
you
Lewis
heard
fan.
About this,
no.
So I've always been a Derek Lewis fan, but basically, he's this heavyweight MMA fighter, right? Who is.
He's like completely self-aware.
He's got a lot of weaknesses.
He's got a lot of weaknesses. He's got a very powerful right hand. He's got very limited cardio. He doesn't work on takedowns or anything. Mm. But he's got this innate ability to get his ass whipped for like three rounds and then just absolutely come back and knock somebody
right.
out one
Falcon punch. And then
right?
he wins.
But
right.
he's in his post-fight interviews, he's the most self-aware guy ever. Like, this is the kind of guy that people are like, oh, Derek, you're doing amazing. You're on like a 5-fight win streak. You thought about fighting for the title? And his response is literally just like, nah, man. I can't be fighting for the belt. He's like, that's 5 rounds, man. I can barely go 3. Because I should probably do some cardio. My fat arse is getting tired. And he's so self-aware.
But on the...
his last fight.
Yeah, at the latest UFC, at the end of the fight, like, basically, he just, like, after he got the knockout, like, in the dying seconds, and it looked like he was going to lose, he was like, ah, and Joe
20
Rogan
seconds,
comes,
dude.
Yeah, Joe Rogan comes over to interview him, and he just, like, takes his shorts off in the middle of the octagon and throws them down. And so, basically, guys, the commission tell him, you got to put your shorts back on. You got to put... Because he's just got his boxers. So he puts his shorts back on, and Joe Rogan comes over, and he's like, congrats on an amazing victory. I just have to ask, why did you take your shorts off, Derek? And he just goes, my balls was hot.
Yeah, I do.
This is what I'm saying. So this is my theory on it, because he's always said this. He's always said silly things. But that it was the Conor Habib card. How many casual fans do you think were watching that? There must have been millions of casual fans, and it's just gotten him over like Rover. Yeah.
But he said it was just a joke. Basically, he'd always planned to like throw his shorts out, and he just said that was just the funniest thing that came to
mind. I was watching some of his old interviews, man, where he's just like, yeah, man, I think my cardio's gotten a bit better. It's all the sex I've been having. Like, he said that his post-interview was. I was like, this guy's absolutely nuts, man.
Who's the guy that does the funny stuff with the weigh-ins? He gave a guy flowers.
Sean O'Connell, I think his name was.
I hate all that.
I thought it was funny.
He was doing like
the
guys, drink.
There's a guy like with his fists up and he like does rock paper.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah,
papers over.
Yeah, I do remember that.
That's funny. I hate it when fighters get along before fights. I hate it, man. It's like you're there to have a fight. It's just, but it's like
but
it's
like
in pro wrestling.
They're just fighting.
They
don't hate each other.
I know, but if they don't, but it's UFC is like a mixture of sport and pro wrestling, and it's literally like in pro wrestling, if they were like, oh, I'm wrestling my best mate, like that only works so many times.
Yeah, if they're gonna mess with their best mate, they need to be like, you know, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to win, and you never know, he might, you know, might turn on him, might turn villain. You never know. There's that little
needs
like
needs to be conflict, needs to be a story.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that.
Just for me personally.
But it's like he's doing that now, so he's and like I've been watching the Embedded this week, so like the Embedded, and it's everywhere he goes, it's literally just like, oh, we've got you these ice packs, just in case your balls get hot. It's gone viral. And you know what it is though, right? People like him because they can smell bullshit a mile away, and he's just authentic. He's just him.
Yeah.
Like there's no BS with him. He's literally just like, Nah, man. Like, when he beat Francis Ngannou, he was like, that was a disappointing performance. Like, he was so aware. He didn't try and fake it or anything. He was just him. And I think that's the opposite of politics. I think it's so much like, how do we connect to these millennials? And how do we get on their radar? Whereas Derek Lewis is like, I'll just do what I want.
Aye.
Like, have you ever been on his Instagram?
No.
Dude, it's literally just, like, memes and stuff. Yeah. There's literally, like, videos of just, like, stupid shit going on. Like, he would, if there was a viral video of, like, Theresa May's dancing, he'd probably post it.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should probably tell the story of the tournament at the weekend there.
I
had a bit, like, so, Jake, you haven't heard this, but I'm about to explain to you what happened. So, basically, like, you know, without going into details, it's been a bit of a tough time at the moment. Got lots of things going on. I haven't been, you know, able to train as much as I wanted to. I was in Canada for 2 weeks before. I'll just wait till you finish there.
No, continue. It's, all right. It's important.
Okay, so. Okay. So basically, I hadn't been training properly, and it's like I was in Canada for 2 weeks, and I was doing pro wrestling. You know, it's a different kind of cardio. It's just like I was
it
not
really
ready.
Is man.
Yeah, I was not ready for this competition at all. Right. Yeah. So, but I was like, you know what? I need to defend my title. So my title was I was the British champion of freestyle amateur wrestling. Right. So I go out there and I'm wrestling this guy, and for whatever reason, I just was not firing on all cylinders at all. Again, I had a lot of stuff going on just now. I think that's probably the main factor, but I was not wrestling like I would usually wrestle. And I lost the first match. So yeah. I lost my title right there and then. And
you had a tough weight category, though.
Man. Yeah, it was really tough.
Your weight category was single elimination. Like it was tough.
But if I was in better condition and, you know, mentally in the right place, I think I would have won the tournament. That's just me.
Yeah.
I knew what the gap was, and it was, so it stung. That's like my whole identity's gone. It's like that's what my brand is and all that. Now, as an absolute last kind of wild card thing, they actually have two sports on that day. So one of them is freestyle wrestling and one of them is Greco-Roman wrestling. And for whatever reason, I've never done this before.
Explain to the people that
this
don't
one, know. So freestyle wrestling, so
even though that you're very limited into Greco rules,
I know.
You were literally asking me the
rules.
We'll
get to that. So freestyle wrestling is like, it's freestyle. You can really, anything goes. You can attack, you know, any part of the body or whatever. Whereas Greco is like that's like the first sport that was in the Olympics. And that's really limited to, that's all like suplexes and throws. And
there's no leg attacks, basically.
Yeah, there's no leg attacks. So it's all suplexes and throws. So it's, freestyle's kind of a bit more open, whereas Greco is like, I actually think Greco's a bit more dangerous. Like, there's a lot of risk in it, because if you get suplexed on your dome, that could be it.
You're pumped.
But they're very different sports, and they require different stances and different approaches, right? So I'm out the tournament, and I'm just like, what do I do? But I'd remembered I'd entered into the Greco tournament. And it turns out, I enter the tournament, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do it, give it my best. And it turns out, the guy I need to beat to win the gold medal and be the British Greco champion is the guy who steamrolled my weight category in freestyle, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I had
like
to beat
movie.
The guy, I had to, in order for me to win, I had to beat the guy who beat the guy that beat me in a sport I had never done before, right?
Right, okay.
So I was like, okay. So I was literally saying to the guys before, I was like, look, what are the rules here? And they're just like, okay, you can do this. And then I remember at one point Scott said, you know, I'll come back to that later. So I literally, as I'm walking on the mat, I'm like, what else can you do? I'm saying to Steve, like, what moves can you do? What's allowed? What's not? So I go on the mat and this guy's like super confident, steamrolled through everyone. His coach again, who is kind of like, you know, said a few things to me at the Commonwealth Games, you know, not the biggest fan of me being the pro wrestler coming in. He's like, and it was his dad, so it's like, you'll make light work of him, son, you know, no problem. So goes on the mat, like, total grinning, like, total, like, this will be easy peasy. Because in his mind, he's like, I just got to, you know, beat the guy I've got to beat the guy. I can't be arsed going through it. I can't remember what it is. But you know what I mean? So I've already beaten the guy who beat him, is what's going through his mind. So we start looking up, and then I actually start to do the maths in my head. And just before I went on, Dave said, it's 8 points to win instead of 10. I was like, thank you for telling me that, because I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Right? So as I'm going on the mat,
That's quite important. You'd think that'd be like the first thing.
No, I know. So basically, as I'm going on the mat, I realise to myself, I do the maths in my head, I'm like, well, I don't really do any leg attacks. So I only ever really do upper body stuff. So I was like, actually, I've probably got a better chance at beating this guy at this rule set than the freestyle rule set. But I've never done it before. And literally before I went on, do you remember I said, guys, I was like, I know the chances of me winning are like less than 5% right now. But if I beat this guy, this is like something out of a movie. You know what I mean? You lose your title, get papped out first round, and then you have to re-enter into a sport.
It is Karate Kid.
Yeah.
It literally is.
You have to re-enter into a sport you've never done before and beat the guy who beat the guy that beat you. So I go in and we start locking up and I don't know what happened. Like, it just... I have no real recollection of... There was no kind of... In my mind, there was no, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But we start locking up a little bit and I'm just keeping it chilled and he starts getting a bit frustrated and then I get something on him and I can't remember what it was, but I got something and I was like, oh, God, I got...
It was a waist lock. Yeah, I got around the side of him.
Yeah, I got like 2 points and I was like, oh, well, you know, that was lucky. And then I tried to turn him. I couldn't do it, but I didn't waste too much energy. And I remember Scott had told me, you get a point for deadlifting him off the ground. So I had his back and I just literally got my arms around him and deadlifted him. And I looked at the judges and the score didn't move. So I just put him back down.
Dude, I saw that happen. Yeah. I was like, see, if you'd done a gut wrench roll from there, you'd have roasted him, dude.
Well, the thing is, I didn't know what that was. Really.
You know what I mean? No, it's just basically the same as a gut wrench on the ground, but you've lifted him up a bit, so he can't resist.
That's true. But again, there's a risk of him getting out of it. That's true. Risky, so I was like, I'm not going to waste the energy. I'm just going to put him back down. And then
I see you just like,
Yeah.
Nah.
I literally looked at him. I was literally holding him like a baby, like just like looking over.
Yeah, because like, I saw you do it. I was like, what the fuck? Holding him. And then you put him back, and I was like, why'd you put him back?
Well, the thing is, when I got beat, I actually sat down and I said to, you remember me saying this. I said to David Lockie, I was like, you know what? See the mood I'm in. I was like, I don't care. If I get another match, I said, I don't care who it is, under what rule set, I don't care. Whoever it is, I'm going to run clean through them. And it just got the what. So basically, then we got up again. I got another 2 points on him. And then he went to try and charge me out. And I just like kind of belly to back suplex, just like kind of suplexed him out and just landed on him basically. And then like everyone was like, you've won. And I looked at it, it was 8 points. And I was like, you remember my reaction?
Yeah.
I was like, what was it like from your perspective?
Well, I remember you went over and you went to shake the guy's hand.
Aye.
So you explain what happened there. Cause
so basically, like, his coach threw in to challenge it, saying that my feet had gone out of the circle. So it took a few minutes. And I actually just went to shake his hand as in, like, a sportsman thing. And he was like, it's not over yet. Like, because obviously they've got to wait for that. And I was like, well, actually, I was just being a sportsman. But okay, whatever. And then I just proceeded to just, like, look into his eyes. And that's the thing that I've realised... That does give you a bit of an edge if you just stare at people the whole time. So I just did that, and then they reviewed the footage and came back, and they were like, "No, your feet were in." So there you go, 8 points. And then they were just like, "Yeah." So I was like, "All right." British Greco-Roman Jam.
Did you then shake his hand again?
Yeah, he was not happy.
He was a bit miffed, man.
Yeah, because the thing is, in his mind, he was like, "This will be a walk in the park." But what my coaches said to me was like, "Just goes to show you should have walked through the freestyle event as well."
Yeah.
And it is true, when I look at it, I do think mentally I was in just not the best place, and it's amazing how much of an effect that can have on you, you know?
It's quite interesting how the effect of the loss had an effect on you.
Well,
then
the thing is, I've noticed I'm always, I perform best when there's no expectations on me whatsoever.
Yeah.
When I have something to defend, that's when I don't do so well. I need to kind of have the next big goal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, like, defending a title is a bit like, oh, whereas now I'm thinking about moving into jiu-jitsu and maybe going after, you know, a championship there, you know? Because that's, again, there's no pressure there.
Yeah, see, I'm the other way. This is the thing I do, like, and this is what I tend to do. I put myself into positions where the odds of me winning are slim, but I learn a great deal from it.
Yeah, that's true.
But then instead of going back to that same level after I've learned, I go up to a higher level. So, for example, earlier on in the year, way back in February, I did the English Championships, like the English Nationals, and I wrestled at 97 kilos. And, you know, did all right for myself. Came up against a guy for the silver medal and just and got beat. But I found a great deal of weaknesses in my game, like one or two like major ones.
Yeah.
But it really opened my eyes and taught me like, okay, this is the stuff I need to work on. So I spent the better part of the year working on these things, making sure that these, and you'll know one of the main things was my cardio.
Yeah, energy management.
I had good conditioning. I had good muscular conditioning where my arms wouldn't get too tired.
But you weren't using your energy efficiently.
Yeah, and my heart and lungs, I was like, just breathing really hard and stuff like that. So I was like, right, I need to just make myself as uncomfortable as possible when training and just start doing. So I would just go for runs in like the cold weather and stuff, just make myself really work hard. So instead of going back to that level, I decided the competition, just for shits and gigs and for to try, I was like, I'll try and go up to 125. I was like, I'll go up to 125 kilos. So I usually wrestle at 97. And I was like, right, I'll go up to 125 and see what happens. So instead of going back to the same level and seeing if the things I've worked on have helped, I'm like, I'll go on a step further. And I'll put myself in a position where, again, the odds of me winning are slim.
The thing is, though, see if you can do that, if you can kind of, in a sense, get rid of your ego. Ego's the killer.
Well, that's I'm going to explain that in a minute, actually, because you're right. And I did that, basically. And it's basically like, I know even if I go in and don't win, I've still improved. That makes sense. Even though the wins aren't there.
And that is the thing. It's like, we have this whole thing. And again, a lot of martial artists talk about it. But it's like, see if you can realize that's when I perform best, is not when I'm going, oh, I need to do this for my brand. I need to be British. So, I mean, luckily for me, I was the freestyle wrestling champion. Now I'm the Greco-Roman British champion. So, again, a two-time amateur wrestling
champion. If anything, you've done better.
Yeah, exactly. Like
because you also have.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm thinking now, again, people are saying maybe Greco-Roman is for me because, again, I breeze through it, right?
Personally, from wrestling you, this is from my point of view. Personally, from wrestling you, the upper body is where you would normally wrestle. It's where you tend. It's why you're complicated. It's why you're tough to wrestle. Because when you first came back from the Commonwealth Games, you were wrestling like a freestyle wrestler more. Yeah. And I found you easier to wrestle, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I found you, I was scoring on you more, and I found you easier to get in on the legs-wise, because I was like, that's my strengths, and it was like, you were wrestling in areas where I was stronger, and I was like, interesting. And then when you went back to the old habits of kind of standing up a bit taller and using the upper body, I found you more difficult to wrestle. That being said, and I mean, that's what caught you in the freestyle, was the leg attack.
But see that, like, the attitude of going, it's not like, I need to beat this guy, I need to achieve this, I need to be the champion. See if you can go, again, if the competition's against yourself, it's testing yourself. Yeah. See if you can go at it from a non-ego point of view and go, actually, you'll notice the top level guys do this, and, you know, and girls as well. It's like, you're going out there to perform to the best of your ability. Yep. So it's like, you're going out there to learn, to get better, to push yourself, to improve. And if you always go in with that viewpoint, you will win you might not win the battle, but you'll win the war. You know what I mean?
The guy I probably look up to most in terms of amateur wrestling is probably Kyle Snyder, and his main thing is don't protect anything. He literally has that. He literally just says, don't protect anything. He's like, I'm not a world champion, I'm not an Olympic champion, I'm just coming into this competition and see what happens. You know, and that's, and I admire that, because again,
I feel that's the best mentality.
It's that same mentality. And that's kind of why it's like mental. So yeah, and that's it, like, to be honest. I'll go into a little bit about how my experience at the competition as well. Like, so I went in at obviously a weight class. So for those who don't know, I weigh roughly, at my heaviest, I've been 105 kilograms at my heaviest, which is roughly around 232 pounds. I weighed in on the day at about 101-ish, you know? And then after hydrating and stuff, like, and eating, I was about 102 maybe, right? So this is the upper limit on this weight class, which is the weight class above where you were, and the weight class above where I would normally wrestle, was 125 kilos. So it's around,
the jump's insane.
It's about 20 kilos heavier than what I would normally wrestle at. And I did it for a few reasons. One, I wanted to just test myself. Two, we had a full team. And there's quite a good feeling where you know you're not going to have to wrestle your teammates.
Yeah, that's the worst. Like, I actually think, I worried that us being in the same weight class was putting an unnecessary pressure on our friendship.
It's game
theory,
isn't it? Your success comes directly at my loss, and my success would come directly at your loss. It's like, it's that same thing. It's that thing, and it's like, it's not, you know what I mean? It'd be nicer if we could both walk away with gold medals
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the same competition, just at different ways.
Well, so, that was certainly the plan.
So I did that, and, you know, there was a few guys there. Like, there wasn't a huge amount of guys in the weight category, but, like, my goal was basically use the fact these guys are bigger and a bit slower and their cardio won't be as good, you know? And
but for the standard that turned up this year was just a different level, man.
Let's put it this way. The Hulk decided to show up. The Incredible Hulk and his pal decided to show up, right? No joke. So I was saying this to the guys off. I was saying this to you guys off of off mic. Go onto Instagram if one of you has got Instagram now and look up Quads Like Rob. Yeah, there's a guy on Instagram called Quads Like Rob. His name's Rob Philippus. This guy's like a power lifter or whatever. This is what the guy that won the gold medal literally looked like. So you get up.
I don't have Instagram.
I'll tell you what. So as I'm chatting, I'll ping it up. Right.
I think we're gonna have to wrap this up soon, aren't we?
But yeah. So I did that, and I'll tell you what, man. These guys were the strongest guys I've ever wrestled in my life. These guys are legit 120 kilos, jacked up guys, just beasts, just absolute beasts. But, you know, and I walked away with bronze, which honestly, I would have liked something more. But it was what it was, considering the position I was in, considering that I was trying something new, and I liked the challenge. I actually took more positives than negatives.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah. Because I got roasted.
Now, yeah, but you're now ranked third in super heavyweight.
Absolutely. You know, and I got beat quite badly off the big, huge guy, right? But I'll tell you what, at no point, and this is the thing, at no point did I feel anxious, no point did I feel nervous. I felt so comfortable. Like, it weirdly comfortable. My cardio felt good. I was holding these guys off, and I was able to score some points, actually. I was actually able to score some points. Managed to push a guy out of bounds at one point, like a 120 kilo guy out of bounds. In certain situations, I didn't feel that there was a 20 kilo weight difference.
No.
In certain situations.
It's certainly the best performance I've seen you have at a competition.
Yeah, and I felt great.
I think for me personally, like, I was pretty down about the whole, you know, losing my title initially.
Yeah.
And really, from where I was sitting, the odds of me winning that Greco thing based on having to have to beat who I beat, like, the odds were just so stacked against me. It just goes to show, having that wild card there, to me it was like, sometimes you just got to give it a go.
Literally what the guy looked like.
Yeah, he did look like that.
Look at this. Yeah. That's literally what he looked like.
So,
like, his legs were that size. If any of you have got Instagram, go Quads Like Rob on Instagram, right? He's a cool guy, whatever, right? But that's what the guy I wrestled looked like. Absolute beast. But I'll tell you what, that challenge helped a lot, because I'll tell you what I did. I was wrestling training on Monday, right? And I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I'll tell you what, man. I was
cleaning up,
roasting through everyone. Like, even the big guys that are, like, fairly strong.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, I'm taking guys and I'm beating them 8-2. And this is at, like, 2 minutes in. I'm just scoring points and roasting guys. Moving guys around has never felt easier. It's so weird.
Well, it's that comparison thing once you've kind of been to a certain point. But for me personally, like, I was actually in quite a lot of physical pain, like, after it. Like, I think that's the worst I've felt. After a competition,
my arms felt like shit.
Or a match, or I thought that, like, my neck. And I was like, my neck and my back. The only things that weren't hurting were my pussy and my... No, but, like, seriously, though, it's hard to see neck and back without that coming.
I know.
Yeah, but it was, like, literally the first thing I thought.
I know. Yeah, but, like, okay, I'll reverse it. But my back and neck were in a lot of pain, and they're just kind of getting better exercise. So I'm going to take a few weeks off, personally. So
yeah, my arms were so sore after, man. Yeah. It was like...
But we better wrap this thing up.
Yep.
Anything else to add before we go?
How much time do we have? Do you have a couple minutes to talk about...
Very little.
About this?
Oh, I mean, I just burned myself yesterday. It was my own fault. It's quite bad, but it's my own fault. I feel like through audio, you can't describe it enough.
Yeah,
Jacob's got probably, what degree of burn is that?
That's probably...
I don't know what.
I don't know how the degrees
work. I think it's second.
Is first degree the worst or third degree the worst? I think first degree's the worst,
right? I think
the
higher it goes, the worse it is.
To be honest, that's like the way the blisters look. That's...
It looks bad.
That's pretty bad, man.
That's what I imagine Kane's face looked like. Kane's face.
That's
what, like, when he had the mask.
And it was like, oh, he's got, like, makeup on his face.
Oh, and you've shaved part of his hair.
Yeah, that's...
That looks really bad.
That's nasty, man.
It's not...
It legit looks like you've been bitten by a raccoon or something. But...
bitten by a raccoon.
It actually looks like yeah. Tanuki Mario.
It looks like it's The Walking
you.
Dead, and we're gonna have to take care.
Yeah,
of
man.
It
does look like some sort of like.
It does.
Infection.
It looks like something of The Last yeah. of Us.
Jake's like, no, no, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine.
I wasn't bitten. No, what are you talking about?
Sorry, Jake. Oh man.
Anyway, shall we wrap it?
Yeah,
there?
I think yes, so. Yes, dude, yes, I'm done. Actually loving these mics.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's good
they
having
are really nice.
Yeah, they are good, and actually the audio comes out really well. If you're watching on Facebook, you won't get this audio because obviously it's linked up to the
tough tits.
I know.
Facebook.
Tough chicken tits.
So the moral of the story for that one is
get
you
your
better go
Twitch.
To Spotify Pod
Bay.
Bay is that one?
That is one.
There.
Carry
iTunes.
On.
iTunes.
Carry on, yeah.
Are we on Zune?
Anywhere else.
Are we on Zune?
I don't know what Zune is, man.
Zune is like Microsoft's shite version of an iPod.
Yeah, Bill Gates can kiss my balls, man.
Mate, get us on the Zune. That's where we need to be. That's where it's at, mate.
That's where you made it.
Wait, do you know what, actually, I really thought about that. It's like, you know the insults of suck my balls and kiss my ass? When you mix those up, it's just wrong. You know what I mean? Kiss my balls. It's like Bill Gates having to be like...
Well, sucking ass is okay.
Sucking ass.
Because, like, I mean, you say, oh, that sucks ass.
I know.
That's true.
You already say that, but...
Yeah, but you would say, like, you would say, Bill Gates, you can suck my ass. So, but I think kiss my balls might be worse.
Kiss my
Dude,
ass.
People say that.
Do they?
Yes.
Kiss my beige.
Yeah. It does sound like something Cartman was saying that.
Just poor Bill Gates. Like.
That's Parker. What makes it so good.
That Parker sounds like, Bill. Do you remember that South Park episode where it's like, if I was going to, my son, I'd kiss him first.
What was the other thing? There was one where did Kyle not have to kiss Cartman's balls if something happened?
No, it was his, or was it? Or
did
was
he
it?
Have to kiss his balls? I'm sure
or
he
was
had
it set my beige, okay?
Oh, he's like, come on, Kai, check my bars.
Yeah.
It was something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, actually, there'll be a new episode out tomorrow.
Nice.
I've still not seen the news.
Because South Park just love to, just, you know, sometimes they're just like, nah. Like, they just decide not to do an episode.
I think it's
week.
Every sitcom does that. I think it's the last week of every month.
Pisses me off, man.
They have to, they
What's
don't.
The deal?
I don't know. It's a weird thing that they don't put an episode on at the last week of every month. It's
pisses
weird.
Me
Family
off,
Guy does the same thing. I remember How I Met Your Mother used to do the same thing. What other shit? Everything. Brooklyn Nine-Nine does the same thing.
That's like, strange.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't
Must
know what
be
it
some
is.
Like weird law around.
It's
American
like we've
not
got sugar tax, mate, but we've got sitcom tax. You've got, if you put four episodes in a month, you've got to pay the sitcom tax.
See, what was I going to say? Right, we'll finish up just now. But what I was going to say was. Do you remember when we were, this was a year ago because it was a Halloween broadcast we did and we sat at that
yeah.
desk
yep.
and that's when we started
today.
Streaming. Yeah,
year
a year
ago.
So I think we should do a...
Was that the first time we were on the stream?
Yep, that was the first time we were all on the stream together.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, because we sat and we played Layers of Fear and we did
Five Nights at Freddy's yeah.
Sophie's Curse.
I think we should do another one soon.
Oh,
like
yeah,
the next
man.
Week or two to
yeah.
commemorate that.
Oh,
we should have set something up.
With these mics so they can hear you getting absolutely jump scared out of your tits.
Well, the cool thing is you can use this for streaming now as well.
That's
nice.
Really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, not exciting times on the podcast. But thank you very much for listening, folks. We
thank
really appreciate it. Honestly, the feedback we're getting is like nuts. It's,
that's good.
I'm loving it, man, because yeah. I just talk pish and people are like, this is great.
Yeah, we're really on to something and it's like, it's you can
we're
tell
on to chicken tits.
Yeah,
we're
on
to chicken tits.
We're on to chicken tits.
Yeah. I think this episode can I call it? Can I get away with calling an episode?
Just call
chicken tits?
Boobs or something.
Chicken nah. breast.
Chicken breast meal.
Sexual chicken.
A meal. A succulent chicken tits meal.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
That's how we should finish the podcast. Ta-ta and farewell.
Are you, sir?
Get your hands off my penis.